Hi, this is Mark Cherry, executive producer and creator of Desperate Housewives, and this is our podcast for the episode coming up on Sunday, January 4th, 2009. To catch you up, a little recap here of the last episode. When we last left Desperate Housewives, Porter had been arrested, and Lynette has mortgaged the restaurant to pay bail without telling Tom, you know, since she used their emergency fund to pay off Ann Schilling, the woman that Porter had slept with. Warren Schilling, Ann's husband, has threatened Porter, and that's why he's taken off. We find out at the end of the episode that Porter has enlisted his twin brother, Preston, to portray him at the court hearing. Lynette and Tom see Preston, recognize him because they're his parents. But Lynette, because she has not been telling Tom the truth about mortgaging the restaurant, decides that Preston has to go into court and pretend to be his brother. So basically, they perpetrated a fraud on the court. We have Carlos getting his sight back, and he's finally realizing the many financial sacrifices Gabby made to keep the house. He uses a baseball signed by Lou Gehrig to buy Gabrielle a designer dress. MJ's upset that Mike's dating Catherine because Susan once promised him that she and Mike would get back together again. Susan asks Mike at the end of that storyline if he ever thinks about the possibility of them getting back together. He leaves without answering the question. Bree learns that Andrew is dating Orson's doctor, Alex. And when she finds out that Alex and Andrew are in a relationship, she decides to invite them over to dinner. At that dinner, Bob and Lee tell Bree that Alex has done a porn film that they've seen. Bree, assuming that Andrew doesn't know this, you know, tells Andrew the truth about his boyfriend, and she discovers that Andrew does indeed know of Alex's secret past. This leads to kind of a rapprochement between the two of them, where, you know, she tells Andrew that she just wants him to be happy, and Andrew's thrilled that she cared enough about his personal love life to finally say something. And then throughout the episode, we have Dave, our mysterious neighbor, seeing a woman and child. Lynette even overhears him talking to these imaginary people. And we find out at the end that the woman and child that he is talking to are his dead wife and daughter, who were killed in the car accident at the beginning of the season, in the season premiere, for those of you who watched. At the end of the episode, we see Dave tell this imaginary woman and child that he will have his revenge on Mike Delfino, who he blames for their death. And he also promises to hurt anyone else who's close to Mike. One of the interesting things about this episode is we did something structurally we usually don't do. We did a little bit of a cliffhanger by introducing the character of Dr. Alex Comines as Andrew's boyfriend. You know, we let the audience know that at the very end of the episode. And that's something that I told ABC I would never really do when I was doing the show, is to kind of leave cliffhangers like a typical soap opera. But we've done it a couple of times since the inception of the show, where we give you a little tidbit that, you know, to hold you over, actually to make you come back to the next episode. And I thought this was a pretty effective one. A lot of viewers told me that they didn't see this particular plot development coming, and that always makes me happy. We were lucky enough to cast Todd Grinnell, an up-and-coming actor, as Andrew's love interest. He's a fantastic young guy who's been doing shows like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's done episodes of Criminal Minds, Cold Case, Eli Stone, and he's come to hang out with us for a while, and we're awfully pleased with him. And he's made a really nice counterpoint to Andrew. And also, we're going to be exploring some of the relationship between he and his mother in an upcoming episode. So Bree will get to meet her in-laws in the next episode. And the episode after that, you know, she and her son-in-law, her future son-in-law, will really get into it. And we've been very fortunate with that casting. One of the more interesting things that happened in the production of this episode, we tried out a couple of different foreign languages to get the scene where Gabrielle goes and gets the baseball back work. We tried Japanese. We had people come in and audition, I think, in Swedish or Norwegian. And we finally settled on Italian to put across the humor of the situation with Gabrielle. And that was an interesting experience to me because we haven't really done a lot with foreign languages. One of the interesting things about the Susan story is our usage of Little MJ, played by Mason Vale Cotton. We usually don't do storylines involving children too much out here on Wisteria Lane. We've done a little bit with Gabrielle's daughter, but Mason's the youngest actor we've ever really employed in a major way. And I think he's fantastic. Some of the reactions we got from him in that last episode were terrific, especially him throwing the bowling ball on Catherine's foot. And, you know, this is his first big job, and we've been, you know, so blessed to have him. The storyline with Gabriel and Carlos was something that we came up with, the writers and I, then deciding to, you know, take it out of just the sitcom arena. Thought it would be cool for Carlos also to learn, in what I thought was one of the more touching scenes in the episode, that Carlos also learned she sold a lot of her own possessions. And to me, that was kind of a very O. Henry end of the storyline where Carlos decides that he's going to sell his baseball to be able to buy her a dress. And I thought that was one of the more effective moments of the episode. One of the other interesting things about this episode, you got to see Warren Schilling, as played by Peter Onorati, threaten Porter so that Porter runs away. The way I came up with the casting of Peter Onorati, I went to the Groundlings improv troupe down here in Hollywood one night to see some friends perform, and Peter Onorati was seated next to me, and we were talking, and I recognized him, and I proceeded to chat him up a little bit, and when I left the theater, I was thinking, hey, we got that abusive guy coming up. We should cast Peter, which, of course, is not a commentary on Peter's personality. He's a lovely, lovely man. But, you know, sometimes weird chance encounters can lead to some pretty good casting for us here on Desperate Housewives. So now, to kind of give you a little tease about the upcoming episode that will be airing on January 4th, Sunday, the first episode of the new year, Bree is going to meet Andrew's future mother-in-law, Melina Comines. And Melina will be played by that fantastic actress, Joanna Cassidy, who I've been a fan of for just years. Their storyline will be all about how Bree meets the woman. She's kind of a little rude to Bree and a little clingy of her own son. And Bree's trying very hard to be nice up until the moment that Melina tries to get Alex and Andrew to move 4 hours away towards her neck of the woods up in Riverton. And that begins a little battle between her and Bree. In Carlos's storyline, he wants to go back to work. He's tired of being a masseur. He realizes now that he has his sight back, he doesn't like working on ugly, naked people. So he decides to work at a low-paying but fulfilling job helping the blind. But Gabby, who wants her old lifestyle back, has a fit. And that starts their storyline. Susan's lonely because Jackson has gone away for a trip. So she goes to a gay bar with Lee. Jackson calls to tell Susan that he has been offered a job at his alma mater, this college he went to go visit, and he wants Susan to move with them. Susan, thinking about the impact this will have on her life, gets drunk, and this leads to a very embarrassing situation between her and Lee. I don't want to give too much about that away. Bob will find out that Lynette and Tom have been lying to him and that Preston went into court pretending to be Porter. And he will give Lynette and Tom an ultimatum that they've got 2 days to find Porter. Lynette will be frantic trying to figure out where her son is, and she will find out that Preston knows, and she will get Preston to get Porter back, only to find out that who he's been staying with is a bit scandalous and has complications for her and her family relationship. And Edie will see Dave talking to himself, and she will confront him about this, and this will lead to a huge blow-up between she and Dave. One of the things that will be using in this upcoming storyline is, you know, using the twins' appearance to confound people. And a lot of that came from the fact that the twins told me that you could pretty easily tell them apart if you concentrated on it, but only if you concentrated on it. And it took me a while. It took me a few months, but I finally figured out which one's Charlie and which one's Max. And so this will be a fun storyline for our viewers. Anyway, so it's a really good episode, and I hope everyone tunes in to see it. And don't forget to watch Sunday, January 4th, 9 p.m. Eastern, on ABC. This is Mark Cherry for Desperate Housewives, signing off.